Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure
podcast.
FPM
system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the
podcast. Deadpan.
I like to play with things a while before annihilation.
Pathetic!
Deadpanites.
Who can save you now?
All right, so returning to the Deadpan once again with tons of enthusiasm, actually, for the project. I actually probably wouldn't have even bothered him with this, but he was very excited to be here.
You know? Very much so. Very much so.
Yes, I mean, I don't remember the exact. I believe it was a tweet. The tweet was or a DM, but it was basically like, oh, my God, you know, flash in the pan. Or actually, I think I like your name for it as well. I like
Mongo Palooza.
Yes. Well,
I check out things.
I want to thank you very much for joining me, Max von Sydow. Thank you very much, yes. Max.
Yes, please let me introduce you to my henchman, Adrian Zamed.
Yes, the diabolical Zamed. He was in that movie somewhere, wasn't he? He must have been.
It was an '80s movie. He was probably one of the guys in the courtroom in the court scene when Flash has got the little egg and he thinks it's a football. He's got to be. He's got to be in there somewhere. Yeah. Now I'm curious. When you did the live Mongo Palooza, your folks there did catch Riff Raff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
we mentioned him.
He has such a small scene in that movie, but he owns it.
Yes.
He owns it. I mean, he's just got that smirk, and I'm just like, Richard, you were just absolutely badass.
Although, you know, my favorite Riff Raff role of all time is Dark City. He was just fantastic.
He was brilliant in Dark. I will see you, Dark City. And I will raise you probably something that you haven't seen over in the States, but I saw it in the UK. Richard O'Brien, picture this. Richard O'Brien was a game show host. He created a game show called The Crystal Maze. And what happened was you went into these different, it was very gothic, cyberpunk, and in some cases steampunk. But what it would do is there were these four different environments or five different environments. There was industrial, futuristic, and all these different themed environments, and a team would go in there, and they would either get a physical, mental, or dexterity challenge. And what they would do is they would have to solve some sort of weird puzzle.
Wait, this was on this was on Nickelodeon, wasn't it? It was Double Dare.
No. This was a grown-up version of it. Okay. It was a little more diabolical, and Richard O'Brien was the host.
Okay.
And what would happen is that every time you solved one of these puzzles, you would get to go to the next round. But if your team member did not solve the puzzle in time, because it was on the timer, then they would be trapped in that part of the area. Now it was important to try to get to the center of the crystal maze with as many team members as possible, because you would get thrown into this massive globe. And it would kick up all these prizes, and the more your team collected, the more prizes everybody won.
Okay.
And these prizes would be everything from massive amounts of cash to, hang gliding over active volcanoes and bungee jumping in New Zealand, you know, vacations like that.
What was the name of the movie?
It was actually a game show called The Crystal Maze, and it was hosted by Richard O'Brien.
This is a real game show. I thought it was a movie.
It was a real game show on BBC. And it was back in 1990 when I saw it. It was absolutely gripping. and O'Brien just pwned it. I mean, it was great. It was great. But yeah, Rich, you know, it's funny because if you blink, you might miss Riff Raff, but he's in there. A lot of good people are in this movie. In this movie that we were talking about, of course, I am speaking, of course, about Lord of the Rings. Right. That was what I watched this afternoon. I watched the right movie, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah. We're doing a Lord of the Rings palooza, actually.
Yes. Mordor palooza.
That's right. You know, there was one of those Christopher Lee. You know, Max von Sydow. Yeah. Who can tell them apart anyway? They're the same guy.
Exactly.
Aren't they the same guy?
I think they are. I think they've done about the same amount of movies.
I think so.
I mean, you know, I think Max von Sydow, he probably was somewhere in Battlestar Galactica finale, probably. That man is, he pops up in everything. He pops up in everything.
I think he was the one, actually, who flew all the spaceships into the sun at the end.
Yes, exactly. I believe that was him, yes.
Hello, Jack and Deadpanites everywhere. This is Curtin St. George. I thought I'd give you guys a comparison between the 1980 movie Flash Gordon and the 1974 movie Flesh Gordon. Now, Flesh Gordon is probably listed as a softcore pornographic film. From what I've read and what I heard on the DVD extras, yeah, I do have the DVD of Flesh Gordon, it was originally a hardcore pornographic film. For some reason, there was a police raid, and they seized the film footage before it was edited into a film. There were some kind of legal proceedings, and the hardcore pornography, the penetration, I guess, was cut out of the movie, and it was eventually released in both an X-rated version and an R-rated version of the film. It is very camp. Unlike Flash Gordon, I mean, it just goes for camp 100%. The special effects are really cheesy, but in a way, they're quite well done for the time and the limited budget that they had. They use a lot of stop-action animation for the monsters. Probably the one thing that makes it far inferior to Flash Gordon is the lack of the Queen soundtrack. Aside from that, I thought I'd give you guys a little comparison between the actors in Flash Gordon and the actors in Flesh Gordon.
It's just a little turbulence. We'll be through it in a minute. My name's Flash.
I know.
Okay, so that's Sam J. Jones and Melody Anderson as Flash and Dale. And I don't think they did too much more than that. Though I do remember seeing Melody Anderson in a pretty good zombie movie called Dead and Buried. Here are the performers from Flesh Gordon.
It's a terrible storm. Do you think we're going to make it?
Don't worry. These new Ford and Tri-Motors are the safest things in the sky.
My name is Del Ordor. What's yours?
Flesh. Flesh Gordon.
Oh, Professor Gordon's son?
Why, yes.
Okay, that was Jason Williams as Flesh Gordon and Suzanne Fields as Dale Ordor. Okay, Jason Williams bounced around a bit, was in a couple of X-rated movies, don't know if they were hardcore or softcore, eventually became a writer and producer of several sort of sexploitation films and low-budget action movies, and eventually won an Emmy Award. He was the producer of a show called Lost Civilizations. Sounds like something that ran on the History Channel. Suzanne Fields used about 6 different names in her career, including Sandra Dean, Cindy Adams, Cindy Hopkins, Judy Lawson, Cindy Stokes, and Cynthia Westcott. That was very common back then for someone working in porn, whether it was hardcore or softcore, to just change their name a lot. She was in 51 movies with titles like Playmates in Deep Vision 3D, Harry Hard Detective, The Wayward Mistress, and Dr. Sexual and Mr. Hyde. Yeah, after her film career, according to the DVD extras, she married an executive working for a supermarket chain. Sounds like a big step up, actually.
After he kills Ming, Flash Gordon Gecko would look at the color of his blood and say, "Green, for lack of a better word, is good." Oh, they get worse. Would Flash Gordon Shumway really be Alf Gordon?
Ha! Yeah! I kill me!
This is Dr. Zoidberg. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
Well,
so
by the way, thank you very much, T. Morris.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jack.
You haven't actually had a formal introduction, so there you go. This is T. Morris we're talking to, by the way, if you didn't know that somehow.
Yes. So you can find out more about me at tmorris.com. There we go.
There you go. Excellent. And you'll have a chance somewhere before we stop recording. You need to just take a minute or 140 seconds and pimp what you're up to.
You got it, sir. You got it. You got it.
But for now, let's talk about Sam Jones
and Melody Anderson and Topol. Flash Gordon, 1980, produced by Dino De Laurentiis. First off, I gotta tell you that I was watching the Savior of the Universe edition, which I think was re-released by NBC Universal to actually pimp the now defunct, thank God, television reimagining of Flash Gordon. And I really prepared for this. Not only did I watch Flash Gordon with Sam J. Jones this afternoon, but I also watched on the Savior of the Universe edition the original first episode of the 1930s serial Flash Gordon with Buster Crabbe as Flash Gordon.
That's right. Who's an actual blonde? You know, his
very blonde.
Well, I don't know for I can't say for certain, but you know, I'm pretty sure the curtains match the drapes.
Oh yeah. They had to. And I tell you what I thought was kind of cool about watching Buster Crabbe in his element was I immediately flashed forward to another role that that old Buster did in his day. Once upon a time, he was Buck Rogers. And there was another great 80s moment in the Buck Rogers in the 25th Century television show with Gil Gerard when they had Buck flying a mission with a bunch of retired pilots they had to bring back in because all their pilots were sick. And one of the pilots showed up was, in fact, Buster Crabbe.
He's a miracle. That is a nice touch.
And I'll go to one better for the nice touch, and we actually tie it back into Flash Gordon. Buck, Buster Crabbe swoops in, one of the really cool starfighters, and he saves Buck's life, and Buck goes, "Pretty fancy flying. Who are you?" And this was Buster Crabbe's reply. "Gordon's the name. Thanks."
Nice.
Now, I'm thinking he was supposed to be the 25th Century Flash Gordon because he had the lightning bolts on his helmet just like everybody else, and his last name was Gordon. And, that was just a nice geek nostalgia moment right there, you know, when you got $2 for a dime. It was really cool. It was really cool. Gordon.
Yeah, I'm just going to jump in real quick and just to address the old one. And some of this stuff actually, you know, we did talk about on the live recording, but you know, it is true that really these are the two of the most iconic and most seminal deep space science fiction franchises.
Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers really were, in my opinion, they are the cornerstones of space opera.
Dispatch war rocket Ajax. They really started, and of course, I mean, it's almost redundant to say everyone is aware that without these movies, there would have been no Star Wars and no Star Trek, really.
No, exactly. Well, serials in this case. I mean, the 1980s Flash Gordon was actually capitalizing off of the popularity of sci-fi and you know, Galactica. Battlestar Galactica was still pretty big, and unfortunately Galactica 1980 was around this time. So,
Star Wars, and
the Star Wars movies were really big around that time as well. But I think what was really cool about Flash Gordon, and it's funny, I was watching it this afternoon, and I had, and I don't know about the other Deadpanites at the live showing, but I really wish I could have been at that showing because I don't know about the others, but for me, I just had this big, stupid smile plastered across my face from beginning to end. I forgot how absolutely and utterly charming Flash Gordon from the 1980s were. This is why I have an editor because I speak really goodly.
Well, there was only one. There was only one Flash Gordon movie.
What do you mean, Flash Gordon approach?
Hi, Deadpan. SB here. I'm just completed watching Flash Gordon. Wow. And the only thing I could think of to say about the movie, besides the fact that the costumes in the film were the gayest that I have ever seen, and I've watched a lot of gay porn and the film Orgasmo. So good job on the costumes, whoever took care of that angle of the film. So my review of the film is going to take the form of a list of all of the types of cheeses that you can order from Metropolitan Bakery in my neighborhood. Ascutney Mountain, Appalachian, Barely Buzzed, Big Woods Blue, Bon Boche, Boche Noir, Cabot Low Fat Cheddar, Chèvre Herb, Chocolate Stout Cheddar, Creamy Goat with Olive, Creme Fraiche, Constant Bliss, Camellia, Use Blue, Fromage Blanc, Fromage Blanc Mini, Fog Lights, Green Hill, Grayson, Great Hill Blue.
For one thing, I remember seeing this movie in the theater incessantly as a kid. I absolutely fell in love with this movie. Now, it might have been because there were a lot of partially naked women in this movie. And let's face it, Flash Gordon reflects a lot of the sexual attitudes of the 80s. I mean, everybody's getting it on. Even Ming is really close on getting a piece. And, you know, so that might have been one of the reasons. But I also remember as a kid, and I remember now when I was watching Flash Gordon, just how much I appreciated the opening credits. I absolutely dig the opening credits of Flash Gordon, which are all the clips and cutouts of the actual original comic book series.
Right. Well, I know that Dino De Laurentiis was, yes, he was cashing in on the popularity of Star Wars and Battlestar, but according to him and to the screenwriter, this was inspired more by the comics than by the original serials.
Mm-hmm. And I can see, you know, you can actually see that because the original serials were weren't really uber close to the comics, but they followed a lot of the same patterns. And I was actually surprised how much the movie was taking from the serials. In the first, for example, in the serial, Flash is a polo star. He's a swashbuckling polo star, and in the movie, he is a football star for the New York Jets. And I thought that was rather. I did like the idea that instead of making him an astronaut, which is what he's been in. In fact, I don't remember if anybody mentioned this. Do you remember the Filmation an animated series, Flash Gordon?
No, I never saw it.
Filmation had a Saturday morning Flash Gordon series. Very, very closely tied in with the comic books. And, you know, you had Zarkov, you had Dale, you had the whole cast of characters. And I remember really digging that as a kid. And De Laurentiis, he was probably capitalizing on this, but at the same time, this was a real homage, a really, really lovely homage to the original comic books. And you could see that, you know, and they actually set the tone. Just a man. With the opening credits, because they constantly are cutting back to those panels, that terrific artwork of the 1930s. I found myself thinking as I was the deeper I got into Flash Gordon in the movie, I just thought to myself, man, I just forgot how just goofy fun this movie is.
You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Before we return to the show, please join us as we listen in to the private quarters of one maintenance man and his wife, the ship's beautician. Then stick around, because Deadpan is the motherfucking way.
Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?
Where's your shirt?
Oh, it got mangled today while I was working on the new football field.
Football field?
Yeah, we're installing a football field on the ship. I can't wait to play.
You're gonna play football?
Yep. I played football in high school. My nickname was Flash.
Really? Flash? Were you super fast? I mean, is that why they called you Flash?
No.
Oh, well, did you just light up on the field? Is that why they called you Flash?
No.
Well, why did they call you Flash? I mean, did you take a lot of pictures or something? Or maybe you had a great smile. Tell me, why did they call you Flash? I mean, it sounds like a superhero name or something.
Honey? Did you know that your hand is cupping my nipple?
Oh, I didn't realize that. Sorry, I guess I just always put my hand there when we talk, and this time you weren't wearing a shirt, so...
No. It's fine. I'm kind of turned on.
Oh? Well, then...
come over here?
I already did.
Oh. I know why they called you Flash.
Flash Gordon Sumner. This would actually be Sting Gordon with the hit single Ming of Pain. There's a little black spot in the sun today, and that's my latest victim up there. Flash Gordon would save the Earth from the fish stick men. If they'd gotten Chevy Chase for the movie, would it have been Fletch Gordon or Flash Griswold? Flash Gore would be the only politician who cared about Ming's environmental attack on the Earth, would invent the internet to help the counterattack, but Jeb Ming would eventually rig a trap of hanging chads to defeat him.
Hudson Valley Camembert, Harmonyville Creamy Blue, Humboldt Fog, Honey Lavender Fromage Blanc, Horseradish Chèvre. Sorry, I have to turn the page. Kunik, Lamb Chopper, Lavender Cheddar, Le Chèvre Noir, Midnight Moon, Mascarpone, Monterey Jack with jalapeno and cilantro, Monterey Jack with chipotle.
You're right, the opening credits, that was cool, yes, that they had the, especially since De Laurentiis was inspired by the comic. But you know what? Other than that, I do say the first 20 minutes of this movie is an absolute turd. It's absolute, absolute horseshit. It's absolute crap.
Yeah. And you know what? I can tell you why.
Well,
I can tell you why. I can tell you why. But go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
Yeah, hold that. Let me finish this thought, and then on to why the first 20 minutes is garbage. But you have awful. You know, the whole plane scene is just insultingly stupid with the worst acting between these two. Really, I mean, Dale. Yes, she was a very. You know, Melody Anderson was a hot 70s babe. But you know, you still have these two horrible actors, and then this awful scene with Zarkov, the way they meet him, that was just so ridiculous, and Zarkov's bumbling Otis-like assistant. You know, it's all just such crap.
How dare you compare that guy to Ned frickin' Beatty, okay? I'm sorry, this is the deadpan. Ned fucking Beatty and fucking Otis, okay?
That's the problem, is that
he was a poor man's Otis. He wasn't even a poor man's Otis. He was a welfare Otis. I mean, come on.
Right, if we met him, we would say, you, sir, are no Otis. That's what we would have to say.
You are not going to Otisburg, sir. You are not welcome in Otisburg. No, you are not.
There would be no Bunsenburg. Right, that guy
No, there wouldn't be. No, there wouldn't be.
No, that guy was not funny. But so I'm just saying, it was all just crap, all just terrible. And really, the movie finally turned the corner and became, you know, even palatable. The moment you see Ming, the moment he makes
The moment Max von Sydow walks on, boom. I mean, that's when everything just gets thrown into high gear. I would dare that it actually happens when you get into the entire court scene, because not only do you have Max von Sydow, you also have Brian Blessed as Voltan, who is just chewing on the scenery, and then you got Brian Blessed who comes in, and he is also equally chewing the scenery.
Hang on, you mean?
Timothy Dalton. Timothy Dalton as Prince Baron. And here's my theory.
Gordon's alive.
My theory about the first 20 minutes of Flash Gordon, because yes, it is quite painful.
Fiscalini Cheddar.
If you go in realizing, but I think this might have been my thing, is that there is a certain way you need to sit down and watch Flash Gordon. You have to sit down by saying that the cast from Topol to everybody else, and I mean because at that point Topol, you know, Topol was, he was fiddling on the roof, you know, he's I'm blanking on the lead. Yeah, he's a big deal. So you got Topol, and then you got all these other people, you know, Max von Sydow, you've got Brian Blessed, you've got Timothy Dalton, and they understand. They're like, okay, we are in a big budget movie of Flash Gordon. We are wearing these way over the top costumes. We are in this. We have laser pistols that look like crossbows, and you know, and we have these wings that look like they are you know, duct taped onto our backs. You know what? Let's have a good fucking time with this movie, and I think you really hit the pinnacle of that when Zarkov and Dale arrive on Hawk City, Because at one point, Brian Blessed walks behind Dale, and you could tell he gooses her. And she leaps out of her dress, and he looks at her and he goes, woohoo! And you're just like, okay, they had to be, you know, those guys were having a good time. Unfortunately, for the first 20 minutes of the movie, we don't see any of that cast. All we see are Sam J. Jones and Melody Anderson. And they are approaching this movie like it's freaking Shakespeare.
Yes.
And that was the problem. They were taking this movie way too seriously.
Oregon Zola, Pennsylvania Noble, Pleasant Ridge Reserve, Parmigiano, Point Reyes Original Blue, Point Reyes Original Blue Cheese Dip.
Of course, Flesh Gordon didn't have the talent in the supporting roles the way that Flash Gordon did. But I did want to play you a sample of one of the other actors in this movie.
Check the angular vector of the moon.
Whoops, wrong movie. Okay, that was Topol. Okay, here's the guy in Flesh Gordon.
When I noticed the plane was going down, I took over the controls, but they broke off in my hand. So you see, the young lady, nearly overcome with sex madness, and myself bailed out just before the plane crashed. And we landed just over there.
Do you take me for a fool? Do you think I don't know you've come here to steal the secret plans to my new interstellar hydrocombustion miracle patented microteflon nuclear gamma strato rocket ship plane missile? Which was 20 years in the making and employs a new updraft design which lifts the ship on small spirals of synthetic strontium pellets. Do you think I don't know that? Well, I've never even heard of it, so you're barking up the wrong tree.
Okay, that was Jason Williams again as Flesh. But the second actor, Vanamond, you never told us you had a career in movies. Okay, now that guy's accent was kind of weak, actually. Finally, Flesh does have more interesting monsters than Flash Gordon. While they don't have any Hawkmen, instead of the tree monster or whatever the thing was called, they have this.
Is it, Doc?
Some species of Pinosaurus, I should think.
Yeah, so Flesh Gordon is, it's worth a rental, and it is available on Netflix. If it only had the Queen soundtrack, it would be really cool. No, it would still suck, but it would have the Queen soundtrack.
I don't think Sam Jones and Melody Anderson got the memo that said, this is a movie about Flash Gordon, we're going to have a good time with it, okay? We got Queen doing the soundtrack, for Pete's sake. I think that's the problem, is that one, you've got to realize, when you sit down and watch this movie, you got to realize that the leads think this is the most important movie of their career. Everyone else is doing it because it's a quick paycheck.
Right. Well, it was the most important movie of their careers because it was the only one of their career.
Actually, no.
Oh, I hear you typing at IMDb.
No. this is scary. I actually know this by heart. Sam Jones was in a 80s sex comedy called My Chauffeur. And if you thought he was bad if you thought he was wooden in Flash Gordon, he was horrible in this movie. And he was trying to be a romantic lead. He was a good-looking guy. I give him credit. He was a good-looking guy. Melody Anderson, the only movie that I remember her from after this was the movie Firewalker. It was Chuck Norris's attempt at comedy, alongside Lou Gossett Jr. And this was supposed to be their take of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and you know, it was supposed to be the comedy comedy duo wackiness. And wow, was it bad? Was it bad? I mean, Melody Anderson, bless her heart, she was trying so damn hard. But she's
terrible. Yeah, how is Louis Gossett Jr. not in Flash Gordon? He was in every movie back then. How did he not make it into Flash Gordon?
I think that was before he got his Oscar. Okay. Lou Gossett Jr. Got his Oscar later. He got his Oscar later in the 80s. And after he got in the 80s, then he started appearing in all these other movies. Sam Jones, and you know, I felt bad for Sam Jones because he shows up in in the Flash Gordon TV series. He has a little cameo in it as a prisoner who actually talks to the younger Flash Gordon.
Go Flash, go Flash, go!
And I think this also says a lot, though, for Sam Jones. You know, at least he stepped up and he said, yeah, I'll do it. I mean, he wasn't doing anything else at the time. But at least he did it. And
He was no Richard Hatch, though, I take it.
No, he was not. And I will say this. I think the Hatchmeister looks a lot better than Sam does. Sam looks like he was rode hard and put away wet. He really does. I hate to say that, but he does. But to really add insult to injury, I will say this about Sam Jones. Was he up to the same caliber that Richard Hatch was in the new Battlestar Galactica? Oh, hell no. I think Richard Hatch really showed just how talented he was in the new BSG. I don't think any of us expected that kind of performance out of him. And I thought he was fantastic as Tom Zarek. I thought he was absolutely fantastic. And I hope he gets some more work because of it.
Purple Haze, Queso D'Amano, Red Cloud, Redmond Cheddar, Shelburne Cheddar.
Okay, my first experience watching Flash Gordon, I think I was about 3.5. My parents took me to go see it in a drive-in movie theater, and they're trying to explain that hot hail was actually fragments of the moon raining down on the people, and I thought the concept absolutely frightening, and I had a very little understanding of reality and actually thought, ooh, maybe hail could be hot. But, you know, now sitting back and watching it again just recently, I realized that perhaps without the Queen soundtrack, it would really, really, really be a poor experience. But that said, this movie has a very special, warm place in my heart. This is the film which was played probably almost every month on WUAB 43 in Lorain, Cleveland, Lorain, Ohio, after cartoons were over on Saturday morning, when you didn't want to watch professional bowling or golf and the A-Team hadn't started up yet. You know, it was that magical Saturday afternoon movie, which was always good for a little bit of diversion and entertainment for a few hours. And you could also pick up the movie at any real point and just watch it because, let's face it, the movie has very little plot and very little cohesion anyway. Also, it was extremely violent, and even now I look at some of the special effects and go, damn, that's pretty graphic and gross. And for a young kid between the ages of maybe 9 and 10, it was pretty sick.
Flash Mormon certainly wouldn't have had any trouble choosing between Ming's foxy daughter and Dale Arden. Flash Dance Gordon would have done a big dance in Ming's Imperial Court, wearing leg warmers and getting 100 gallons of water dumped on him, which somehow still would have been less gay than the Imperial Court football scene. Fonz Gordon wouldn't need some stupid ring to make the ladies swoon. In Flash of the Titans, Flash Gorgon would have... okay, this is getting ridiculous.
But I will say this about Sam Jones' performance in the new Flash Gordon that one season. He was hella better than the guy that they cast as Flash Gordon, the new reimagined young uber hip Flash Gordon. Man, that show was painful to watch. That show was just painful to watch, but I kept thinking to myself, it's not going to suck. It's going to get better. And I was wrong. And again, it was because they were trying to do something with material that really the 80s Flash Gordon did it justice. Once you got in all the other players, then it became not only watchable, but a heck of a lot of fun. Right.
I really can't think of any movie there are movies where you cheer for the bad guys, but you're right. Everyone else, you're right. Brian Blessed and, you know, the other characters were all a lot of fun. The Timothy Dalton character there, all the other characters were fun and likable. But, you know, I really hated, and including Topol, actually. I think, you know, I know he was an established actor, but I hated all three of them. I hated every scene, where, especially the atrocious football scene. I was cheering for the bad guys.
You see, at that point, I felt like Sam Jones lightened up. At that point, I was like, okay, he gets it. He gets it. I still don't think Melody Anderson really got it. But at that point... He did kind of say, okay, this is not going to make my career. I think I better just have some fun. And that football scene, I do not tire of that football scene. That football scene is just a guilty, goofy pleasure of mine. I was having so much fun.
That's actually also called the fast forward scene by a lot of people.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Okay. See, that's the scene I will not fast forward through just because it is so over the top. And I will say I do love that scene though, where, and this is where I think where Flash Gordon becomes really worth it to watch. It's not necessarily for Flash Dale and yeah, maybe to some extent Zarkov, but, you know, watching Max von Sydow just having a blast as Ming the Merciless, watching Brian Blessed, especially during the big attack scene, when he goes, you know, Dave. I mean, how many times have you heard people quote that? I mean, it's just, in fact, Command Line does a great Brian Blessed from Flash Gordon. He is awesome as his Brian Blessed. But I mean, I've been a fan, but that's the thing. I love that was where I first saw Brian Blessed was Flash Gordon.
He has a jaw like a snake. He could swallow you in whole in one, you know, one fell swoop.
Oh yeah. But what I didn't realize was that even before this point, he had done an incredible amount of work. You know, he's been around for a while. Like he was in one of the original Space 1999s. He's one of those 11 actors that I'm surprised hasn't shown up in a Harry Potter film yet.
Serena, San Joaquin Gold, Smoky Blue, Thomasville Tommy, Tumbleweed, Talbot Reserve, and finally Vermont Camembert. And honestly, I really did enjoy the film, but it was super cheesy. Thanks, everybody.
Also, you have to look at the historical context of the movie Flash Gordon. It was, at least according to IMDb, supposed to be done by George Lucas. He, in fact, wanted to do Flash Gordon, and in many interviews he said that he based Star Wars off of the original serials of Flash Gordon and other kind of, you know, action war-y kind of movies and stuff. But when he went to go make it, he found out Dino De Laurentiis had the rights to it. Now, there's a bit of a symbiotic relationship, because let's face it, Dino De Laurentiis would not have gotten the funding and backing if Star Wars wasn't such a big hit. So, in a sense, they both kind of did a good job of inventing each other. Plus, Dino De Laurentiis had money backing and funding enough to go send over a few bucks to David Lynch so that he could make Dune, which is another 1980s science fiction film that didn't live up to all its potential, build a cult audience, and really, if you look back at it, wasn't necessarily as bad a film as everyone wanted it to be or made it out to be. It just wasn't as good as it could have been to be a giant blockbuster. You know, but when you think about giant blockbuster movies, I mean, I think everyone loves to hold up the candle to, say, Independence Day, a movie which was an absolute blockbuster and made a lot of money for Will Smith and everybody else involved, but let's face it, do you really want to pop in a DVD of Independence Day? Hell no. You're going to pop in a DVD of Flash Gordon. Also, Flash Gordon was one of those movies which had been seen on television so often at television resolution that you'd never realize how absolutely brilliant the visuals were. I was doing a film school project where we were cutting together trailers for movies. Now, my friend decided to do Flash Gordon, I decided to do Videodrome, and boy, I so wish I could find the VHS copy of it. But anyway, it wasn't until we're editing it that we realized that some of the special effects, like lightning strikes, you could actually see Ming's face flying towards planes and ships and stuff. And it was just because we had watched it on TV off a broadcast for so long. And then later, you know, after film school, when DVDs came out, I sat back and watched Flash Gordon for the first time on DVD with a 5.1 surround sound system and realized how absolutely beautiful the visuals were and how bright and crisp and awesome the picture was, and realized that's what the movie actually really looked like if you saw it in a theater on a really good projector. I often wonder movies like Phantom of the Paradise or Swamp Thing or the original Scanners probably really looked good if you could actually see them the way they were meant to be seen. again, there are some pretty cheesy elements to the movie. Let's face it, the scene where Flash Gordon battles Ming's guards playing football, Dale suddenly turns herself into a sideline cheerleader, and the bad guys all of a sudden huddle up to figure out how to stop him, and there happens to be these weird eggs laying around which are just shaped exactly like footballs, and for some weird reason Flash Gordon could only battle them when he's holding on to one of the footballs. But that said, though, I mean, how many blockbuster movies or pseudo-blockbuster movies are nearly as memorable, rewatchable, or just plain enjoyable as Flash Gordon?
All right, it's only a flash wound. We're not done. There's still more Flash to come. As you can tell, T. Morris and I weren't really done. There's still more of our conversation. So if you have something to say about Flash Gordon, then please feel free to get it to me. My email address is sphericaljackm@gmail.com or call the voicemail. That's 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. You can also send in usual type deadpan stuff. I believe our next episode is not going to be part of the Flash in the Pan Palooza series, but we will be having a regular episode because I got some questers from FPM and other goodies, some things that have been called out for in previous episodes. The first comment of the week last week was CJ saying, "Will I be first? Oh, let me be first." And that's about it for this episode. I have been Jack Mangan, a.k.a. Dr. Colitis, and we're out. One more little thing coming up here. But I am not coming back after this one more little thing coming up here.
Stolen from the 80s.
From the 80s.
Hey, Mr. Mangan, got you some lyrics. Fell out the back of the 80s truck.
Hey, Jack. SB here with some lyrics from the 80s. From Flash Gordon. This is Flash's theme by Queen. Flash, ah-ah, savior of the universe. Flash, ah-ah, he'll save every one of us. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Flash, ah-ah, he's a miracle. Flash, ah-ah, king of the impossible. He's for every one of us. Stand for every one of us. He'll save with a mighty hand every man, every woman, every child with a mighty flash. Flash, ah-ah. Flash, ah-ah. He'll save every one of us. Just a man with a man's courage. He knows nothing but a man, but he can never fail. No one but the pure in heart may find the golden grail. Oh, 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 Flash.